This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Wrapping up your weekend, Sunday Perspective on Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
0861-987-000, 0861-987-000. That's the number to call to contribute on the various conversations that we have been having this evening, as well as some of the ones that you'd like to bring to our attention. Quite a lot is happening in the country. Quite a lot is happening in and around the country. And those are some of the conversations that we are unpacking this evening. Remember, we're officially back to talk. It is back to power talk. It is back to talk, and we are having all those conversations and more. You're more than welcome. Please do kick us in the right direction as well, where we are not providing a level of question or a level of conversation that is being asked by you as well on the show. 0861-987-000. We are speaking to Professor Alex Afanaheva, who is a chair in the field of Social Security Systems Administration and Management Studies at Wits School of Governance. And what we're unpacking really with Prof this evening is the important information you should know around COVID-19. There are some very disturbing conspiracy theories. You've seen that there were towers in KZN that were torched, or that were burnt down, because people feel that there's a connection between 5G as well as COVID-19. So we're really just going to sort of break down very important conversation and very important information that needs to be shared with regards to COVID-19. This conversation, I need to alert, it's going to happen in as much of an educational format as possible, because I think we all need it at this point in time. It's 0861-987-000 to join in on the conversation. Prof. Alex, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Good evening.
Prof, let's just start with some pertinent information that we need to sort of understand. And in the last couple of weeks, we've known that there's a variant that is unique to South Africa, I think, and parts of the UK as well. What do we mean by that?
Well, the variant is a mutation in the virus, and mutations will occur routinely in any population if a particular virus is essentially spreading quite widely. It's actually expected. And in fact, there are potentially many variants that are in existence. But South Africa is doing quite a lot of genomic studies. They're actually researching this more than a lot of other countries have been. And the UK is also. So what's potentially happened is that in South Africa, they're detecting variants where other countries aren't, because they're not looking. So that's the first thing to note, is that it's very improbable that a variant occurred in South Africa only or in the UK only. It's just that they're looking. But variants are going to be very important going forward, because this expected constant mutation of the virus can potentially undermine the effectiveness of vaccines or any existing immunity that might have been built up from an initial infection that somebody's had. So from that point of view, they are important, and they therefore need to be watched. So at the moment, certainly in a lot of the vaccine studies, people are checking that the variants do not undermine the immune effects of the vaccines themselves. And to date, nobody has found that they have.
And if we're looking at I'm going to call it a myth. Prof, I'm going to call it a myth. I can't think of any other word but a myth. We've seen in KZN, there's been towers that were torched. People felt that there is a relationship between the five generation connection, or 5G rather, as well as COVID-19 in itself. Is this a myth? How do we break it apart?
Yeah, so one of the things that tends to emerge in situations like this, and which also occurred under HIV and AIDS, is that all sorts of crazy theories start to emerge. And look, there are a lot of people who start to disbelieve official figures or official advice. Now, in South Africa and in quite a lot of other countries, the governments do not always get it right. They make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that your conspiracy theory is then justified. the conspiracy theories often emerge through mischief, and should not be taken as if they're true. But I think there's a tendency these days for the internet to create the impression that a lot of information is plausible and true, when in fact it is completely unverified, unverifiable, and untrue. But it might create an internally consistent story that actually catches on within a context in which the government is not always behaving well. And South African government hasn't been. South African government has made a lot of mistakes, but that doesn't mean that 5G is somehow causing the virus. And that's just utter nonsense, and there's no plausible relationship between the two. But so I think that issue is there, and the question is how to address it when the government messaging itself is not always being trusted because they're making mistakes. And I think that's where you do require a lot of public discussion to sort of clarify the plausibility of these stories. And I think, you know, it's going to be one of those consequences of a catastrophe like this.
Now, there's conversations around vaccination and various conversations around vaccination that's happening in terms of, for example, accessibility within, you know, the last part of the first quarter of the year into the second quarter of the year. But once again, the conversation of vaccination is not being received with the same ear and the same understanding in various communities. And we've seen some people, we've seen a video recently of someone who is in somewhat of a leadership structure just sort of talking against vaccination. We've also seen critique around vaccination that's been happening globally. We've seen our own leaders in certain instances as well. What are the dangers of that, especially during a time where it is known that vaccination might be one of the sole solutions or temporary solutions?
Yeah, vaccines are going to be the only way out of this. You've got two directions out of this. That's natural infection or a vaccine. Both develop antibodies. Both develop a degree of immunity, but natural infection comes with the risk of severe morbidity and death. So you want to make sure that you take the route in which you develop immunity without the risk of death. So, and in the case of COVID, severe morbidity comes with permanent harm, potentially to the lungs and other parts of the body. So it really is something to avoid having, particularly if you are in the higher risk category. So you may survive, but you are going to be severely compromised for the rest of your life. So you don't want that. So the vaccine is very definitely the route out. The question really is whether people can trust the vaccine and how to trust it. And again, it comes down to how government messaging occurs. And the problem in South Africa at the moment is that government has not done its job properly on accessing vaccines. But that doesn't mean that the vaccines are a problem. The problem is getting access to the vaccines and then properly conveying information about vaccines so people understand that they are reasonably safe and they're better than the alternative. So I think that's where the messaging comes in. Again, governments are going to make mistakes. They make mistakes across the world. That doesn't mean that vaccines are a problem. The other issue is that in many areas in life, we do depend on a degree of trust in institutions. And when you start to shake a belief in institutions, it means that you end up trusting nothing. And then I'm afraid people are nowhere. So if you don't trust medicines that are given to you, and you can say, I just don't trust the regulatory authority to approve something. I just don't trust that it's true. I think there's some grand conspiracy behind it. Well, you're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck having nothing. You're never going to be taking any medicines because it's all part of some grand crooked plan that's sort of struck up by Bill Gates or some secret society somewhere trying to control the world or the grand Satan trying to rise up. So the problem is that those kinds of conspiracy theories have absolutely no facts behind them, no information, nothing to support them or back them up. But for some reason, people seem to give them greater credence than your institutions. So I think that the issue is we have nothing but our institutions to be able to live. We have to trust institutions. And where institutions fail, you hold them to account. But you have to trust in the institutions. But once that breaks down, you are, as an individual, nowhere. And I think that that kind of mindset is therefore very problematic and very regressive. It doesn't take you anywhere. Mm. It just means that you're skeptical about everything, the ground you walk on. And unfortunately, no matter how much you criticize a government and how they're failing, you're still going to hold them to account for making sure that the institutions perform as they should and holding them to account or finding alternative institutions that do make sense. So if you're not trusting the South African Regulatory Authority for vaccines, are you saying that you don't trust the UK authority, the EU authority, the United States authority, and are they giving poisons to their societies? So so I think that that's an important question. If you don't trust those, what do you trust, and why are you giving them more credence than these institutions?
And that brings me to another question around creation of vaccines by race or for particular race, because another growing conversation or another growing, one may call it a myth, around that, you know, some vaccines are created not for the black aren't created for the black community, for example. Prof, how do we have that conversation, or how is that sort of to be communicated by government, especially with regards to just reception by the community in its entirety, regardless of race?
Yeah, I mean, the first issue is, where is that coming from? Because the way in which the vaccines are being developed, they're encouraging an immune response to a particular virus. The virus is the target. It's got nothing to do with race. So bringing that into it is often a way in which people add a kind of plausible color to a conspiracy theory. G-bombs and people developing targeted genetic weapons against particular race groups. I mean, these are going to be there. They're in, you know, every single comic strip that you have, and they're in all sorts of movies. So it kind of seems like something that people could sort of adopt. But the fact of the matter is, vaccines aren't developed with that in mind. They can't be. And there's absolutely no evidence for it. And so these are basically just stories made up. But I think that the way in which vaccines are developed is about developing an antibody response and an immune response. And there are better experts, people who are busy with the science, who can be asked on every detail associated with what they're doing. So if people are skeptical about it, the actual hard information on what's being done can be interrogated in some depth in the public domain. And I think that is probably the best way to deal with it. But it is absolutely absurd to move from a general suspicion to a conspiracy theory and to assume that somehow somebody's basically trying to kill all Chinese or trying to kill all Indians or trying to kill all black people. It's a leap which I think people can play on.
And I mean, if we're talking, you mentioned earlier around government messaging or how government sort of sends out communication that is palatable, I think, by the community. And if we're looking at the target, for example, the minister says that they're targeting a minimum of 67% of the population to achieve herd immunity, and the approach will be a phased rollout of the vaccine. Understandable, and many are saying that a vaccine has never been targeted at 100%. Of the population, to not create nervousness within communities, Prof, how can this message be communicated better, especially when you're looking at the number of people that are infected at this point in time, the number of deaths that are being announced at the same time, and when you're looking at the 67%, and if one feels that there's not, they don't necessarily adequately fall under any of the priority groups that have been stated by government, how can that message better be communicated unto the public?
Yeah, so I think that there's the government communication, which, again, as I said, is people have kind of been prepped not to believe government messaging. Then government messaging on its own isn't always going to work. But there's quite a lot of science behind this, and there are a lot of people who explain the science extremely well. And so the first thing that you look at in this particular case is there is a very clear reason as to why we have to vaccinate the entire population and why it's a unique circumstance. It may not be a unique circumstance going into the future, but what we're facing is a virus that is airborne, which means that it transmits very efficiently, and the infection is very rapid. And although the relative to, but it doesn't kill everybody, but it kills enough people that you do need to address it. And if you develop a vaccine, there's no point in only giving it to 5% of the population or just the children. Mm. If you want to stop it, you've got to give it to everybody. So there's that logic. So that's why it is being considered at this point to give it to the entire population to develop that herd immunity. The second issue is why is this, how come this virus, this vaccine was developed so quickly versus other vaccines which have taken years to develop? Well, there's also very good scientific reasons for that as well. In the case of HIV and AIDS, a very, very difficult virus to attack. If you don't provide a treatment for it, everybody dies. There's nobody who's been cured. And as a consequence, you don't have the full an immune system response to work with. In this case, many people do survive. So you actually do have an immune response to work with. You've got antibodies that you can actually develop and use to fight the virus. The second issue is that the structure, the way in which the virus is actually structured makes it easier. It's more that's constant within the virus that you can develop a sort of a targeted approach toward addressing, like the spike protein, which is something that you can attack. You don't attack the underlying virus, you attack the protein, so it can't attach to you. So the so that actually made it easier. So there's quite a lot of historical science that is being developed that can be brought to bear very rapidly. So that's the first issue. The science was actually easier. The second issue is that there was a massive international global emergency, which meant that huge resources were targeted on this particular problem. And you definitely had to develop a vaccine within 12 months. That has to be the global target. Otherwise, we can't sit for 3 years in the position we've been in with rolling surges and economic shutdowns in perpetuum until such time as we've developed herd immunity through natural infection, because that's how long it'll take. It'll take years to actually eliminate this virus. And under those circumstances, the question is whether or not you just let it run through your population and just take the hits, or whether you try and curtail it for and let it run over 7 to 8 years till you get natural herd immunity. So given that as the option, it's to make it to be effective, you have to develop the vaccine urgently. And there's never been a time in human history where there's been this much focus of resources on the development of a vaccine. Multiple clinical trials, between sort of 80 to over 100 different vaccines under development. So it is a massive enterprise, and it is so urgent and necessary. So many governments sponsoring it, South Africa running clinical trials for many of the main vaccine developers as well, and many other countries as well all across the world. So that's the reason why we have vaccines developed so rapidly. Firstly, if we didn't, we have a disaster. Number two, focus the resources, because it's our only route out of this. So that's why we have it. You know, we can send rockets to the moon. We can send rockets to Venus or to Mars. But the world is actually able to develop a vaccine very, very rapidly. It does have the technology if it focuses the resources. So there's nothing necessarily particularly unique about being able to do that. It's just that we need it to.
And just reiteration around affordability of the vaccine in itself, there's been quite a number of conversations around, you know, the how expensive it is for governments to access this particular, or the various vaccines that are being presented, particularly looking at South Africa and how South Africa might receive some sort of subsidy to towards a vaccine per individual, or what's the conversation around affordability here, Prof? Is it affordable? Can South Africa, is South Africa in a position, together with the various bodies, we've had medical aid schemes, for example, saying that they will, you know, go above and beyond just this, over above and beyond the number of people that have access to medical aid, and just try to get a little bit more to cater for people without medical aid as well. There's a, that is somewhat of support that is being provided by South African bodies or medical aid bodies, South African medical aid bodies in here. Is it affordable to get this vaccination?
Yeah, so firstly, there is a need to do the costing. You know, how much does it cost? And does that present a affordability problem for South Africa? When you do the costing, certainly in my calculations, the total cost to herd immunity would be between, say, 7.1 billion to 15 billion if we got in the high number, if we got all of our vaccines, say, from Pfizer, which is the highest price at the moment. So if we were an AstraZeneca, then we're at the AstraZeneca plus the COVAX arrangement, would be about 7.1 billion rand. So we're probably looking in the region of sort of 8 to 10 billion rand. So that's actually quite affordable within the South African context, even in the, if the budget had to, the government budget had to carry it all. But I've spoken to major corporate players who've said they would be prepared to gather together and pay the entire amount. Medical schemes are able to carry the cost of all of their members, so that's 9 million people. That includes all frontline health workers and many of the high-risk groups. But medical schemes have also indicated they're prepared to pay for people in non-medical scheme members. So when you start to look at it, a hell of a lot of the overall cost, people are willing, if there's a vehicle, they're willing to actually pay to reduce the government problem. In discussions of National Treasury is actually budgeting this amount. So government actually isn't short on this. So the South Africa is not going to have any problem being able to afford this vaccine and making it available to the entire country. We essentially have no other option. And if we compare the cost of, say, 8 to 10 billion rand, and we compare it to what we lost 400 billion rand this year in economic output because of COVID. We lost just on the tobacco and alcohol bans in the first surge, we lost 35 billion rand in tax revenue. Compare that to the cost of this. So it's completely affordable, and the cost-benefit analysis shows that it's worthwhile doing, and there is no problem in South Africa affording it. Our major issue is that government's been very slow to access agreement and has been very unclear about why it hasn't actually secured the doses necessary for herd immunity during the process of 2021, when many other countries at the same level of economic development and even lower have. And so that's a concern about how government is proceeding. And as I said again, right at the beginning, because government is making big mistakes doesn't mean that there's a problem with the vaccine. And if government gets defensive and sometimes even lies about what it's doing, it also doesn't mean there's something wrong with the vaccine. Mm. It means you criticize what they're doing wrong so they get it right. And we probably will get to a point that is acceptable. But, I think government has definitely underperformed, but it does not mean that it should create skepticism. I think that what we should really be doing is putting a huge amount of pressure on government to get it right. And that what's going to be more as important, so finances are not a problem. Mm. The actual procurement process is, and it's not understandable why government hasn't done its job there. But the next problem is actually going to be distribution and the rollout. And that they haven't done. So there's no clear rollout plan. So that rollout plan needs to be clarified, and it needs to be clarified pronto. Because we could have all access to the doses, but it might take us a long time to actually get them.
Absolutely.
Into people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Professor, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and I appreciate the insight shared here on some of the I think the pointers that really just continuously need clarification on a daily basis. The fact that we're seeing communities burn down and torch cell phone towers is scary with regards to where communities are in terms of just information and understanding and the full comprehension of some basic information that's continuously shared. That's Professor Alex van der Heever there who joined us. And Professor Alex van der Heever is the chair in the field of Social Security Systems Administration and Management Studies at Wits School of Governance. 0861-987-000.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.